We do need a vice chair. They have to, I think they have to put that on the agenda.
Hey, there you go. You're right there.
Hi, I'm Al.
Al, nice to meet you.
How do I refer to you?
Let's say Radimus or Rad.
Okay.
Laura, nice to meet you. What do you guys want me to say?
Here?
Yeah, you sit right there.
A lot of those are duplicate, so you don't really need to show them.
My, a few times doing this, nobody ever seen me want to introduce anybody, so I'm just gonna ask you and Laura to introduce yourselves.
Okay.
Just briefly, you know.
Okay.
Nobody asked you for an introduction either, did they?
What's that?
When you came online, nobody asked an introduction for you to say who you are, your, you know, what your background is, that you're a landscape architect or...
Oh, when I first got here?
Yeah.
I don't really recall.
Yeah, nobody, I mean, it just seems like you hit the ground running and... Have you read the protocols?
I don't, no, I don't think so.
I've been meaning to look at the minutes.
They're...
I saw the minutes.
On the site, if you click them, you can download them.
Okay, is this, can I use this? Is this for...
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Oh, no, I did read the protocol, well, not all of them. I skimmed, for sure. Do I need to know all these right now?
No, not necessarily, but...
Hi, Radimus. Nice to meet you.
Earlier today, and about 15 minutes ago, I got some renderings that were provided by the applicant for this project.
Okay.
And at the end of the PowerPoint presentation, so when I'm done presenting, we can also just take a look at those ones as well.
Okay.
As well as the material board. So it's just like some attachments to it.
Sure.
You just obviously didn't have time to make that in the demo.
Okay.
What we have here is what we could have. Because it just took a while to render it all.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I get that for sure.
I downloaded it. The agenda, minutes, time to vote. I'm not going to start till the city attorney is present now.
Was it?
I don't need to review these.
No, but if you want to vote on this, you can watch the video.
Mm-hmm.
And if the video matches what's in the notes, then
I see.
We're not sure that we need two people or three people to make it work.
Hi, I'm Heather.
Radimus.
I'm a clerk. I also work for community development. And Shanna, she's the plan manager. This is Tyler. Can you tell me how to say your last name?
Kulki.
Kulki? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, nice to meet you,
Mr. Kulki.
And we did order nameplates, but they haven't arrived yet. So next month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So as soon as Shannon gets back, we'll start. Sorry, there's work.
So I didn't know I had to
watch the previous one.
Yeah, you just got thrown into the fire here. But
yeah.
It's all good.
That turned this one on, so we're good here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is yours too? Yes. How about yours, Chair?
You good?
Apple can provide me with a few additional renderings, and I just put them at the end of the presentation, so. They have discussion or questions about it, I can just flip through those slides at the end.
Testing.
Okay.
All right, I'll already just let the members know beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to announce or anything, and then I let the applicants know, so.
Mm-hmm. That works.
Okay, good evening and welcome to tonight's meeting of the Design Review Committee. Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Okay. Okay. Member Kiesel.
Here.
Member Kuhlke.
Here.
Member Dunbar.
Here.
And Chair Antleman.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Unless the city attorney has an objection, we have two new members, and I think it might be appropriate for them to introduce themselves.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Ms. Dunbar?
I don't know if this, oh yeah. My name is Laura Dunbar. I'm an architect and a general contractor here in Ventura. I have a small growing company downtown and I look forward to being on the board. I've been on Planning Commission and the Historic Preservation Commission or committee a few years ago. So I look forward to working with you all here. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Kuhlke?
Hi, my name is Radimus Kuhlke. I'm an architect here in Ventura. I have a small office in downtown as well. I've practiced in LA, New York, and Santa Barbara, but I'm excited to be on the design review board here in Ventura.
Member Kuzik? Jackin.
But who I am?
Yeah.
Okay, well, all right, I'll introduce myself as well. Jack Kiesel, Kiesel Landscape. We're a local firm downtown as well, and I've been on here about a year now on the board, and I'd like to definitely welcome our two new members.
Thank you. My name is Albert Antleman. I've been practicing architecture in Ventura since 1979. This is my second four-year round with the DRC, and I'm currently chair. We're going to proceed to public communications from this point on. This is the time that we set aside for public communications to talk about any item that is not on tonight's agenda. Madam Clerk, is there anyone who would like to speak to us on any subject that is not on the agenda tonight?
I have no public comment cards.
Okay, then we're going to move forward to consent items. The approval of Design Review Committee June 19th, 2024 meeting minutes. This will be a question for the city attorney. We have two members here that I've reviewed the tape, and Jack was here for the meeting. Do we need a third person to approve the minutes?
Yeah, I believe we do need a third member. I would suggest that we schedule this for the next meeting, and that will give an opportunity for the new members to review the prior meeting so that you're in a position to approve the minutes.
Okay, then we're going to need a motion for a continuance in a second.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to continue. Continue.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Madam Clerk, could you call the roll?
Member Kiesel?
Yes.
Member Kuhlke?
Yes.
Member Dunbar?
Yes.
And Chair Antleman?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, before we move on to the formal items, I just want to go over the order presentation for the new members. First thing we do is the public communication. Then we ask the staff to make a presentation. Then we have questions for the staff. Then we ask the applicant to do a presentation. Then we can actually, the members can deliberate and discuss motions for this project. There is an opportunity for rebuttal as well. So I'm going to introduce the first formal item, which is Project 240554, Raising Cane's Ventura Major Design Review, Plan Development and Use Permit, located at 4200 East Main Street.
And I'll be excusing myself for this one.
Okay, you just need to state why you're being excused. Why you're? You need to state why.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Yeah, but you need. You're part of the applicant's team. That's why you're recusing yourself.
Right, yeah, recusing myself, right.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I think we're supposed to identify why, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What's that?
Yeah, we're when we do recuse ourselves, we're supposed to identify why.
Oh, yeah, because it's one of my projects.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what sorry. I thought, okay.
Thanks for coming for the minutes.
Okay, so staff, do you? I assume you have a presentation.
Yes, we do, thank you. Good evening, I'm Tyler Walter, a senior planner with the city, and as noted, the project before you is agenda item number 2, Raising Cane's Ventura, project 24-0554. Subject property is located on the northeast corner of an unnamed shopping center at the intersection of Donlin Street and East Main Street, and the site is currently used for strip commercial retail. The applicant would lease the northeast corner of the property outlined above in yellow from the owner for the use. The existing site of the building would be atop an existing parking lot that is currently used for shopping parking. The parking taken away for the construction would be replaced with 27 parking spaces that would be adjacent to the building. The subject property itself is surrounded by auto-centric commercial uses in all directions. Most of the adjacent architecture are variations of corporate architecture that were built in the 1980s and 1990s. Above is a proposed site plan with the boundary of the site plan outlined in red. And above here in light green is the building site itself. The proposed building, as shaded in green, would be located towards the center of the site and would be surrounded by landscaping, outdoor seating, and a two-lane drive-through to the northeast. Vehicular parking would be around the building to the west and to the south, and the site would be accessed by pedestrians to the northwest corner of the building as shown above. Above is a proposed landscaping plan. One tree in the berm, as shown right here, with an X, would be removed, while the other 8 existing trees in the berm would remain. The applicant intends to plant a mixture of native shrubs and canopy trees in the berm, as well as adjacent to the drive-through and the building, as well as in the parking islands within the lots south of the property, as shown above. Above is a proposed grading plan for the site. Between the drive-through being proposed and the street, there's approximately a 3 to 5 foot difference in height between the two, offering some screening through the berm. Above are the proposed northern and southern elevations of the building, western and eastern elevations provided by the applicant. The design of the building is consistent with the style of other restaurants within the Raising Cane's Corporation. The building elevations incorporate a variety of materials, including glass windows, brick masonry, fiberglass panels designed to mimic cedar wood, black metal panels and gray metal panels, and reclaimed red metal siding. The proposed materials are all used on all elevations of the building, maintaining a cohesive appearance from all angles. Above are the side elevations from the north and from the south, with consideration given to the elevation, particularly to adjacent buildings and similar restaurants within the shopping center. The proposed building aligns with the architectural style and treatments for the shopping area. The design guidelines are partially met in total, as the building has a broken up massing and the materials around the proposed building, matching the building materials around adjacent to the proposed building. Although DRC opinion is requested to see if the material treatment is acceptable given a more corporate appearance to the building. Above is a proposed rendering of the Raising Cane's restaurant from the southwest corner looking to the northeast. Above is a rendering from the northwest corner showing the pedestrian entrance, the driveway exit, the outdoor seating from the northwest looking to the southeast. And finally, a ground level rendering of the drive-through exit provided by the applicant showing a street view looking at the proposed building and the drive-through exit and outdoor seating. As mentioned, the architectural treatment is very similar in terms of style and materials to the standard corporate design of the Raising Cane's Corporation. Above is such an example of standard corporate design for a proposed Raising Cane's restaurant in San Martin, California. Above are examples of architectural treatment for various Raising Cane's restaurants across the country. All of the buildings, such as the one proposed, involve incorporation of glass windows, brick masonry, fiberglass panels, to mimic cedar wood, black metal panels, and gray metal panels, as well as reclaimed red metal siding. Above is a more unique example of architectural treatment of a Raising Cane's in Torrance, which features less corporate branding and a more mid-century modern design approach, unique to the Raising Cane's branding, but aligned more with the design guidelines for Ventura that dissuade the use of corporate architecture. With that, staff has the following questions and discussion points for the DRC pertaining to building articulation, building design, landscaping, as well as pedestrian and bicycle access. With that, staff is recommending that the Design Review Committee recommend to the Community Development Director to approve the design review with any recommendations pertaining to the design of the site plan and building and any landscaping adjacent to it. This concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll move on to questions of staff. Generally speaking, I hold back and I let the members go first and I go last. On this occasion, I'm going to go first and kind of prime.
Fair enough.
Okay. Is the applicant?
The applicant's present. I just wanted to also note there are additional material boards and renderings at the end of the presentation for more context, if need be, provided by the applicant.
Fantastic. Could the applicants please come forward? Well, we're gonna start off with staff questions, and then next we'll do. But you can come forward at this point. Okay. First question I have is: the submission complete? Is there anything missing from the submission?
Anything that's outstanding doesn't pertain to the design of the building.
Okay, because I'm not seeing a building section, and I'm not seeing a roof plan. So, am I missing something? Generally, we see that.
No, but for as a design review level, we believe that it was complete enough for a design review since it pertained to the exterior treatment and the landscaping.
Okay, so, in the past, we've always received a section, and a roof plan. Okay. This is a staff. Does the project require a stormwater pollution prevention system? Is that something that has to be included in this design?
It wouldn't necessarily have to be approved at a design level. It would be something that would be worked out between Ventura Water, the Stormwater Division of Public Works, and the applicant. I know they have been working back and forth between Water, Public Works to address any stormwater concerns in stormwater retention. And it is my understanding, let me pull up the site plans or the landscaping plan, that there would be some retention in, if you look at the screen to the right, in this general area right here between the south parking and the driveway. But it was not anything that planning went into much depth of discussion with.
So they'll have to meet building code requirements in terms of the
correct
amount of water.
Correct. And that would be undertaken at the time of site plan review, of building plan check, okay, following a director's hearing.
You mentioned the number of parking spaces, the analysis. It appears that they're too short.
They are required to have 29 spaces and providing 27. However, the outstanding two parking spaces would be addressed through a private agreement between them and the target to the south. Staff already did a review of the parking spaces provided by Target, and to make it simple, their Target is currently an overparked lot, and taking away two parking spaces would not put them out of compliance.
Okay. I think I've asked this before, but your recommendation is that the community design director will be the final review authority?
Yes, the design review committee is an advisory body to either the community development director or to the planning commission, depending on the scope of work.
So how is that determined? Why is it, I mean, this is a very critical, important corner for the city. People that get off the freeway, and it's a very active exit, it's going to be very visible. How is it determined that this would not go to the Planning Commission and go to the Community Development Director?
Usually the Planning Commission, it would require a type of variance to require a Planning Commission level hearing. This one, honestly, only became to a design review committee because of the size of the building exceeding 2,000 square feet. This building is approximately 2,900 square feet, just a hair under, which would, if it was smaller than 2,000, I believe, it would then be a ministerial level review.
All right, that's good to know. I always kind of wonder why it goes one way or the other.
Right, and I think also just noting anything you do believe about a vista and anything like that, a corner element would be something to ask the applicant about as well.
Okay, all right. Member Dunbar, do you have any questions of staff?
Well, a couple. I'm curious about the pedestrian access. Is there a requirement of one or two, or is there any basic requirement for the amount of accessibility, not vehicular?
I'm not sure if there's a specific requirement about the number of access points. It was something that we brought up as a potential discussion point, if there is enough provided. There is one current one. I will note that the current proposed plan is the one in the landscaping plan. In the previous project site plan, the access point is different. It's showing a bit of a stagger before it goes to the street. But the landscaping plan itself shows a direct path going from East Main Street directly into the outdoor seating area.
Excuse me, sorry. I just want to remind everybody to speak a little further into the microphone. Thank you.
I see that. I just assumed that the site plans were the more accurate with the little jog in it, and I just was wondering if there's any criteria about that requirement and if it's absolutely required or if there's more than one required or what the criteria is for pedestrian access.
It's my understanding a building that fronts the street is required to have a pedestrian access point.
Okay.
And this building, even though it's leased from the Target, is required to have an access point.
Okay, thank you.
Member Kulke, do you have any questions of staff?
I do. It goes to the water retention. Now that area may or may not be an area for water retention, is it accessible by users?
My understanding, at least from viewing the site plan, the landscaping plan, is it would be for employees to take drive-through orders. I don't believe, I'll defer to the applicant on it, but I don't believe that is an area that's accessible by the public. The area, I believe you mean this sidewalk right here where my cursor is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that's accessible, but I'll defer to the applicant on that.
That's all.
Okay.
That's the only question I have right now.
All right. I assume that the applicant is here and would like to make a presentation.
Thank you.
Can you please speak your name so I can put it in the minutes?
You beat me to it. My name's Jay Higgins. I'm the agent for Raising Cane's, and I have a full team here with me tonight. Gustavo is our project architect. Katie is our designer. She's flown in from Dallas. We have our construction manager, Ken, back there. And Tom is also in from Dallas as well. And we have Sasha, who is our landscape architect. So, yeah,
could we get last names? That would be good.
I actually only need the speakers that are speaking.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
If they come up, they can, and if, yeah, I'll drag them up and they can give you their last names if you need them for the record. But anyway, I'll get out of the way and give it over to Katie. But just to say, first of all, thank you for volunteering your time to be part of this committee, because we've been waiting for the quorum issue to sort of solve out and get to you, so we're excited. So, and thank you, it's a big commitment to be a volunteer on a board or commission, so we appreciate that. Second, we've been trying to get into Ventura for about 5 or 6 years. We've taken runs at other properties. Most recently, we were trying to get into the Mimi's building that's still vacant, and that didn't work out, and so we're here and we're excited, and this is a although it's a prototype building, and we'll talk more about prototypes and how those differ, particularly in California for us, this is a rather new trend with shopping centers that have seen a lot of decline, a lot of empty parking, and so shopping centers nationwide, particularly in California, are opening up their doors to redevelop empty parking lots that are just not used anymore because retail is not what it used to be. So we're excited that this has been made available to us to lease from Target. It does, to a certain extent, activate the pedestrian opportunities and accessibility and visibility at the corner. It's no longer going to be just an empty parking lot, and we're excited to be part of that solution. The grade change that you can't really tell from the elevation here is prevalent. If you go to the property and stand in the corner where the red little car is, right at the corner of Main and Donnellan, there is about a 5-foot difference in elevation between where the cars are going to be queued and the berm and then the sidewalk. So we're already at a place where we feel that the site plan is going to be able to screen some of the vehicle traffic from those vehicles that are on Main Street. Plus, with landscaping, we think it'll be a nice addition. So we can go through some of your questions, but I think what we'll do is put Katie on the spot, and she can talk about our prototype and how, while we have prototype buildings, we don't really have prototype elevations.
Okay, and I just want to let the applicants know you do have a 10-minute presentation time, so there's probably about 8 more minutes left. Okay. It can be extended by the chair if necessary.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm Katie Cummins, for the record. I'm designed with Raising Cane's. Just, again, want to reiterate what Jay said. Thank you for taking the time to meet with us and review our site that's coming, or hopefully coming, to Ventura. And I am really here to answer any design questions that you have about this building. I know there's concern that this is a prototype. And while we do have similar elements and similar architecture to other buildings, this is a newer building for us. And when we say prototype, we are really talking about our kitchen and the interior layout and the number of fryers that we utilize. Now, we do have a lot, we do have standard materials that we will put on a building. This building, for instance, is different than any other building. We have a rear tower, so we don't even want to call it a rear because it's inviting. It almost looks like a front entrance. Are we looking at, okay, this is the front right here. This, that's our main entrance that you just.
Go to the rear.
There we go. This is the front, the main entrance here. And then, but which again, the patio is laid out different at almost every site. We take into consideration the market area, the volume of people that will be in there, and then we uniquely lay that out. And then on the opposite side, that's the one I was talking about, the back of the building. Although it is the back of the building, we add a rear tower element. That's unique that we don't add to every single building. We're articulating our entrances on both entrances. That's something that's different that we don't always utilize. And another, although we, you know, do have our standard materials, we do like to, we listen to the city and hear you guys and are open to any comments or any suggestions in architecture or finishes. We drove around town today and noticed there is a McDonald's in this parking lot that has some neutral finishes, some stucco and some wood. That's something that we could complement nicely if requested. But we're also really proud of our brand and our materials and put a lot of thought into what we put on our buildings. And so happy to marry the two if that is something that is needed.
Thank you.
With respect to the, there was a question maybe of staff about another pedestrian connection. We can entertain that. We don't like to put too many crosswalks through the drive-through for the obvious reason. And where we do have one that is controlled and will potentially do raised concrete or some other striping to make sure it's safe. That's what it looks like now. But once we're done through the building department, we usually are ending up with truncated domes or something like that that provides physical relief so people know what they're doing before they get there, or signage for people in the queue. So,
okay, if that's a presentation, then I'm going to move on for questions. And here again, I'm going to start again. I usually don't do this, but as architects, we always deal with the design concept. So could you maybe explain your architectural design concept and how it responds to our community, to the site, and to the adjacent buildings?
Yes.
Thank you. Tom Douthat.
Tom Douthat.
Appreciate that question. I think maybe the first answer would be with regards to site planning. We recognize that we're a drive-through concept and that there are concerns about traffic, about congestion, about pedestrian safety, about blocking access to others. So we start from a contextual level or from a community level at trying to work that out functionally. So we begin with the site plan, believe that what we have here actually is an optimal for drive-through, but for the most part, it has our most recent kitchen, the kitchen of the future, has dual drive-through lanes, which one of the things I think is important about us is we've got one love, which is we've got a set menu. It's been unchanged since the beginning. So with regards to speed of service or throughput, cars in, cars out. And I guess the second part of it, as Katie alluded to, is we're also a strong dine-in business. In fact, started as dine-in, and we pay particular attention to the experience. Drive-through is part of our business, but dine-in is how we found it. So with regards then to the materials, we do have a starting material palette. I think what you see here is it's contemporary. We believe that it is flexible. very flexible. We've got examples in different locations where the request has been for it to be metal panels, where it's been all stucco, it's been tilt up, it's been all masonry or all wood. So within that, we've got a fairly, I say, eclectic palette. And in fact, most of what you see there, there is some story, part of the story of the brand, but also kind of part of the story of how the brand was founded, which was rooted in the community.
So I'm not sure you answered my question, and I'll repeat it. What is your project design concept, and how does it relate to our community? I think you've talked about the site, and you haven't mentioned adjacent buildings, but an example of a design concept, friendly, easy to use, to understand, to move through. That could be a design concept. So I'm not quite
I apologize if I didn't connect directly on the question. I did mention the site planning. Means of access are both from vehicles, but also from those parking to dine in. We kind of clearly delineate what is dine-in through the storefront or through openness, through a visual connection, so that you can readily identify through, we'll say, solids or voids. Voids, you will see, is a kind of a positive sign of dine-in. You see directly in. The massing of the building is sympathetic to we have rooftop equipment, obviously, but we've got an extended parapet. We are diligent about the aesthetic and that it is screened, that it is balanced. We believe the component different than many. We do a covered patio. It's part of the architecture. It's part of the unique site planning solution. Extending to which direction that either parking or pedestrians are coming from.
And the community aspect, how does this tie in to our community?
Architecture or the concept?
The architectural concept, how does it relate to the city of Ventura?
We believe that bringing in a modern representation of a healthy brand doesn't necessarily mean repeating what McDonald's or Starbucks or anyone else. We think that having a undiluted version of what our concept is helps to convey to our customers, helps to convey to the community what we're about, but I believe it also through the use of custom murals, through the use of site-specific vibrant landscaping. Those are kind of connectors to the context. Community I could address in a completely different way through what we do operationally. But
if I may, you probably haven't been into a Raising Cane's, but the inside experience is what really, I think, addresses your comment. They do a fantastic job with local nonprofits and populate the inside of the restaurant with memorabilia from the high school sports or football team, baseball team. So there's a pretty heavy connection that store manager has an annual budget with which to engage local nonprofits, and there's a big pet welfare program part of Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's is a lab, and so they do a lot of local outreach at that level. So while the architecture, if I'm understanding your question, you're leading us somewhere, I can tell, but you're not probably getting what is the end result because you've never possibly been inside a Raising Cane's to see how that responds to the local community on the, like Tom said, on the operations side.
Okay. You use several types of materials. What are the materials that are being used in this particular building?
Katie, you want to kind of
sure.
walk through?
So we use two different...
Thanks. We're using two different types of bricks, like he said, to differentiate like a dine-in area versus just solid massing, hidden areas, the back of house. We also use metal panels. We have perforated metal panels to screen our roof that are backlit. It's a very interesting look at night. And let's see, what else? We have Nichiha, which is a wood material that is next to the brick. So that's a third element. And then lots of stainless steel awnings, canopies. We have Trex material that we use on our patio, which is very durable. It's weather resistant. It doesn't fade. Easy to keep clean. I think those are, what am I missing? Oh, yeah. The main one is our one tower, which actually has a very interesting story. I'm not sure if you know much about our founder, but he's an eclectic guy. He's very unique, and he likes to bring uniqueness to the restaurants. And our one towers are actually made from car hoods, and no one is alike. They're all different. They may all look similar, but each one has its own modeling, and we think that's a unique element to add to our restaurant and differentiate us from other brands, and that is representative of our one love.
Okay, your roof material, and how are you getting water off the roof? Where's it going, and how's it coming down to the ground?
Yeah, we use traditional membrane roofing. We'll have internal drains, and we've got external overflow scuppers. You'll see them generally articulated generally towards the drive-through side, but that's overflow, so we would connect, if applicable, underground for the roof.
Okay. Can you explain the vehicle circulation, how the cars come onto the site, how they actually do their ordering, pick up their food,
Great question.
Off the site?
Sure. Could we pull up possibly a site plan or okay. Landscape plan? Can I get up and point to the screen?
If you want to bring the microphone with you. Here.
And I want to be sensitive to the time as well.
The presentation seems to be over at this point now. It's just questions, which there's not a time limit on that.
Great, thank you. I'll kind of point a few things out. With regard to drive-through, we've implemented a lot of some of the more recent developments that you might not have seen. To handle traffic peak times, we've got crew members that are outside with handhelds to take orders. And that is, we'll call it upstream of where our menu boards set. So in order to get orders in, again, we've got One Love. We sell chicken finger meals. When you drive on, you're not choosing between burger or salad. So when we see you come on the site, we're dropping bird, which means you're getting a fresh, hot, cooked-to-order meal. We've got a dual lane, primarily during non-peak. The inside lane, you'll come in. This is I believe it's a 28-car stack, which means there's 28 cars that are accommodated within the defined drive-through lanes. And then if there is overflow, which we would expect at opening, there is a continuance or there is an extension of this drive aisle. I think you'll see it in an overall plan. That's not part of the ongoing plan, but it'd be part of traffic management at grand opening. Two lanes, we've got a height detector on around. You'll see right here, and I'm gonna point with the microphone just so it'd be clear. We have two menu boards. Can take orders there. There are speakers, microphone. It's also a crew canopy. So when we do deploy crew, they have a covered fans, misters, heaters when applicable, so that they've got a spot where they can kind of recharge, cool down, warm up, and then they're back. So you'll see the walkways here defined. There's some question about what the purpose of that walkway. So that is the area striped and designated for a crew wearing a vest, taking orders when we're backed up beyond the menu board. What you'll see here, again, I'll point with the microphone, is what we call expo canopy. So as you come around, we'll have crew deployed outside at peak, and they'll expo orders from the window to the second lane to expedite the whole process, getting both car lanes, 28 cars through in the shortest amount of time. And then the exit, they'll merge. That's a one-way, so that's out. I think those are the primary components of drive-through, which leaves what you asked for.
Yes. Yep. And pedestrian circulation, could you also address pedestrian circulation?
Sure. So we talked initially about this. This is primary from the street to the lot. Obviously, all of our dine-in parking is internal, so it doesn't cross the drive-through line. So those that are parked within their boundaries and those that were mentioned that were shared, they're coming from the Target lot or from our own parking. So you'll see this is a paved and landscaped area. This indicates tables and chairs and umbrellas. This indicates the extents of the covered patio. So they're welcome in through two primary entrances.
Okay, delivery trucks, how do they get on site and off site?
Great question. We don't have included in this presentation our truck studies, but they are run at the earliest stages. They've got shown off of Donlin on down here, entry, deliveries, park, and service through this door. This is what we call our corral, or it's a secured area where deliveries are received, pallets or hand trucks. And then within there, they're broken down and then taken to within the restaurant. Obviously, trash is here, so trash is serviced on the same route, same trucks. They'll come in, and then they're, depending ultimately on the service provider and the containers and style they use, side entry, they're pulled out, or head in if they're front load.
I got a few more.
Sure.
Okay, so when I look at the design guidelines and I look at number 11 on page 22, it says new development should express its own uniqueness of location, design specifically for the particular building site and not a copy of a generic building type which might be used anywhere. Are you responsive to that design guideline?
Yes, site. We are. This is the only unique solution to this particular location. We have a thorough understanding of optimizing the site and layout. With regards to the exterior, I'd say it's an open dialogue. I think we saw some additional inspiration as we were in today. From a material standpoint, I don't know that specifically what's reflected is all the way to, I think, where we'd like to be with you on that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, let me just jump in there. I think this is a recurring theme here in the last 20 minutes. We're here, if you've got some suggestions for us, and it's something that your committee votes on as part of the recommendations for the design, for the community development director, we can get a read from our crew here as to whether or not we support those, and we can respond to those tonight.
Okay, yes. We'll move forward. Lighting, is lighting dark sky compliant?
Yeah, I believe that there was a lighting package submittal as part of the presentation.
We typically have a photometrics study that is part of our typical, I don't know that we've done that yet, but if it is a requirement for dark sky, that is no surprise to us. We do that almost everywhere in California.
I'm not sure.
Staff had some questions concerning safety and security. I'm not sure whether that was a lighting issue or not, but maybe you could address safety and security on site.
I think what we were more looking for is, yes, lighting as well, but also like security as far as like safety for people accessing the site as well, kind of alluding a little bit back to the pedestrian safety.
Okay. That's all I have. Member Dunbar, do you have any additional questions?
I'd like to jump right into the pedestrian. I see, you know, the two options, both of which I don't know would ever really get used. And I think this is part of our problem is we add things because we're required and they're not really thought out through the actual context of the site. There are not a lot of pedestrians walking up and down the street, quite honestly. And I think a lot of them are going to be using the driveway. And if anything, they're going to be coming from the corner in, which, you know, you're walking all the way down to the driveway already, crossing across, you know, the drive-through lanes. And not that I have a solution for you, but I just think that needs further study.
Actually, we're just asking questions. This, you're leaning more towards deliberation. So if there's a specific question, it would be good just to ask it.
Well, I asked this earlier, what was the purpose of putting it in that location, and is it because it was required? Is it because, you know, that seemed to be the best use? What was the dynamic of locating it there and the if there were one or two or however many determined to have?
Hi, I'm Gustavo Troches. I'm with CSRS, the architecture firm on the project. So, you know, one of the main components of the project is the patio seating where the pedestrian access is adjacent to. So the idea is that we're sort of far away from the street where people are a bit, you know, secluded away from the noise, and you have that access. If you see on the left, you have patio seating, covered patio seating, and then you have umbrellas down south of the building. So the idea is that pedestrian access is sort of away from the traffic. You have landscaping that provides a buffer, and so towards the left side of the site is where we felt was the best position for that seating.
In addition, the if there's one that makes the most sense to put that crosses a drive aisle, we put it after the pickup window. So that's where vehicles are stopped anyway. They're picking up their food and maybe less distracted than they are otherwise if they're sitting in the line. So in terms of putting something in the corner, I think that what's proposed is probably safer, although I might agree with you in terms of where you're picking up pedestrians at six one way, half dozen the others.
The other question I have is, and I wish that we had this drawing, but I would love to see a section through the site so that I could see how low, how low the building is to the surrounding street.
These
are landscape sections we cut through Main Street and Donald Street. Thank you. This is very, very helpful, and I appreciate this. It's a lot better idea than even the perspectives of the drawings and things of the.
I should add. Target has a view easement that we need to not interfere with. So a big part of locating shopping centers and high-end retailers is street visibility to traffic. And so that's one of the reasons why we're not putting in very tall hedges or increasing the berm is because we can't to a certain extent.
Okay, thank you so much.
Member Kulke, do you have questions?
Yeah, I think I still keep looking at that landscaped area, and I'm if this is a prototype building, it seems to me, and I will get to a question, but it seems to me that really what's driving this is where the kitchen is located, and maybe where the drive-through has to end up, and it's kind of leaving this area which you've chosen to landscape. And then when I look at the seating areas, it's kind of cramped in terms of the spacing that you have, but you have all this other space in the landscape area. If you could kind of just clarify, or did you look at trying to use that extra space that you have there?
Okay, so just to clarify the question, you're talking about the landscaped area on the eastern side of the site, right, basically.
Yeah.
That's actually the view easement right there. We may even have an exhibit that shows that dashed line. The target's concern is
got it.
Their visibility to vehicles coming from that intersection, that stoplight intersection. So we didn't have a choice.
Okay. That makes sense.
Any questions?
Again, that area, my eye keeps being drawn to that area, and you also chose, and I get why you put it there, the trash enclosure sort of, if I make an X through the whole site, it's literally dead center on the site. And I guess my question is there anywhere else it could possibly go?
What?
The trash enclosure.
Oh, trash enclosure. It's going in an area that's sort of, we don't want the trash enclosure to be close to the street. Is that?
No, I don't have an issue with it. I think I just want to know how it ended up there.
Yeah, that's so when designing the building, and Katie mentioned this, we have a corral area where we have, you know, it's a staging area for, you know, bringing trash and then hauling it over to the trash enclosure. So it's right adjacent to the corral area for employees not having to go, you know, long distance.
And then my last question, you mentioned this. The thing doesn't come up here anymore. It crashed. But
One Love emblem.
Yeah, but it's made out of car trunk hoods. Yes, but there's an image showing the one on.
Talking about a rendering?
The material board.
Oh, okay. Give me 1 second.
That seems to me like that's plexiglass. It's not. It's a real hood.
Reclaimed car hoods. And oftentimes, again, if there's a, when we're going in the neighborhood of a school or a university, we'll select the colors of that. So yellows, purple, whatever it is, and they'll have that same kind of patinaed, weathered look, but we'll pick from colors that, I don't know, kind of connected into that community.
And you may have spoken about it, but I might have missed it, but and that one as well, but I saw another elevation of a different raising cane, that the one isn't so large, and my question is, why is this one different than or much larger than the other ones?
Great question. I would say it's singularly probably our kind of most important message that we're trying to convey to customers, One Love. It's on the signage there is a part of telling our story. I'd say in this particular design, it's the one thing that kind of extends above that parapet line. You know, if we're going to draw attention or we want to say we're proud of that in and of itself, extending above in this building design is why it would be there.
Those are all my questions.
Any more? Okay.
No, that's it.
One final question. Why the unique design for the city of Torrance? Why is it so much different than the design for the city of Ventura?
Sure. That was a conversion of a Coco's diner or bakery. So that existing arch, the kind of atrium to the front, even the brick detailing, those are elements which we maintained part of the requirements of that. This is a non-drive-through location, and So what we've done, interior tells our brand story, exterior. I think it actually shows the how far or what we're willing to do. I think the brand itself and the product and the crew and the culture is the brand. The architecture we recognize is the vehicle that contains it. But Torrance, yeah, it was a 60s, 70s Coco's.
Are there any other examples in other cities any other examples in other cities where you you deviate from your prototype design, or is this the exception?
Sure. Murrieta is a location heavily guided by a center match or context to be part of that area. I would actually say some of our recent openings, Broadway and Nashville, Times Square, those are super unique, hyper-local, and are representative of what we will do, you know, what we're, the extents of one being telling a brand story, but also being part of kind of harmony. I don't know that we've seen within the immediate proximity of this site that there is a presiding architectural style. As we get further out, I think that we see probably in the residential. If those are elements, I think if the committee believes are important parts, we've had this same approach with heavily corniced or traditional towers, or but most of that comes through either center match or immediately adjacent to a monument or a park or something.
Okay, then we're going to move on, and we're going to open up questions to the public.
Oh, one last question, and just out of curiosity of this, the same way we're speaking is, if you were to get the Mimi's, how would that have changed your corporate sort of design, if at all? I can't imagine you would tear it down.
That was the proposal.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no questions, and we'll open it up to for public comment. Is there anybody?
I don't have any public comment cards.
Okay, you're welcome to stay, because we may need to come back and ask some additional questions, or we may not. This way you don't have to get up and down and up and down. So basically we're in the phase of deliberations. So everyone gets the comment. Eventually we need to come to a consensus and have a motion and figure out what we would like to either recommend to the community development director, or we could also recommend that the applicant come back and provide the following considerations, additions, or changes that we would like to see. So I usually start on the right, but you can go on the left. Whoever wants to speak up first. If not, I'll make a choice.
I'm going to let you go first, because I'm only because this is my very first one, and well, I know
my first one too.
But I know you've been on the committee before, so
I'm
going to follow your
okay.
Your
so
lead.
I tell you, probably my biggest concern with this project is that we have this, and I know it's a view corridor, and that was very interesting to learn, and you know, it would have been great to have in here, because it was sort of a new, oh, I could have taken that into consideration when we're reviewing this. But that aside, I have a lot I'm concerned about, this is one of our main freeway off-ramps there that dumps out into Donlan Street, and what we're seeing is sort of the back of the house of this project. The trash enclosure, which I know will be, it will have an architectural feature, and then the back of the house of the building. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see some of the awnings that come out that will sort of screen that, and I understand the view corridor. So I just am concerned that We have yet another gateway, which has been my concern always through Ventura. We have these gateways that we don't seem to protect and we don't seem to cherish. And that is my one concern. It seems like all the focus is on the parking lot side and not really on the street or the corner. And this is a really impactful corner because of that off-ramp. No. So that's my main concern. And so we'll pass it on and then we can...
Well, I'll comment on that. When I first visited the city in 1977, I got off that freeway off-ramp. I looked to my left and I saw that fire station. And I go, wow, what a neat fire station. This would be a great city to live in, a great city to work in. So that is an important off-ramp, and it does make an impact on people that live here and the people that visit our city. So I'm just reinforcing what you're saying.
And with that said, the car wash, I was on the Planning Commission, they approved that car wash, and it's a very dynamic sort of architecture as you're driving off the freeway, so it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, I've talked about awards for good architecture. To me, that would be a candidate. It's just a beautiful, well-designed structure.
I agree with that. That being said, I think being across from it, I'm just going to come out and say it. I think you talk about massing, but really this is. And excuse me, I don't have any other way to describe it, but it's a box with different materials defining one plane. And if you're going to do that, that's fine, and I get it. I understand that, you know, the construction of, you know, putting 90-degree angles here and there, that becomes expensive. But I think there could be more... care taken in the proportions in which some of these, you know, glass boxes, these wood areas, could you know, really impact the visual or what you get when you come off that freeway. I think the one is maybe a little larger than need be. I don't know what the answer is, to me it's proportionally just doesn't work.
Well, part of our job is we should try to help the applicant.
Okay.
If we can. I would like to see a motion that would ask the applicant to come back and recognize the fact that we're very similar to Torrance. We're a surf city just like Torrance is. I'd like to see an eclectic design that maybe reflects maybe our surf beach city culture. Maybe there's a way of adapting this facility. So that it looks like maybe it belongs here in Ventura and maybe not in Mobile, Alabama or something like that. So I think I'm asking you to really reconsider the design. I don't have a lot of problems with the flow and the circulation. I think you do have to acknowledge that when people access a site nowadays, they're looking at their phone a lot of times. And when you cross vehicles, that can be an issue. I think something like a speed bump or some type of texture material, if you mentioned. So, you know, people kind of get a little bit of an awareness, and the drivers get a little bit of an awareness that there's a possibility that a pedestrian could be walking across their site. I don't have any issues with the landscaping architecture. It seems to be very, very appropriate, but I would just like to see a design that feels like it belongs in Ventura. And, you know, maybe you can use some of the materials we have. Maybe you can use, you know, some of the exterior components like the one. But I don't see Ventura in this design. So I think coming back, a motion to come back and try to craft a design that appears to be more appropriate to our city. And here again, I think we relish eclectic design. We don't try to push you into, you know, postmodern or modern or any, you know, other type of style. We pretty much ask for just good design, and that could be anything. and a strong design concept that we can recognize as well. So that's the type of motion that I would like to see made. Is there something that you disagree with or concur with? And you know, like I said, we need to just come to a consensus. We don't have to all agree, but if we can come to a consensus, that would be good.
Well, I appreciate the differentiation use of materials. I do. I think that it's got a great, you know, combination of materials and different textures and colors, and I do appreciate that. I understand what Chair is saying, that he, you know, that it might need to tie in a little bit more to, you know, Ventura. We've got a lot of unique situations here, and we're, you know, like you said, a beachside community, we're a small community, and I think that would be nice. But I am more concerned with how this is presenting off of that freeway. That's what I'm really concerned, or off the off-ramp of the freeway. I'm really concerned about that. Yes.
May I?
No, we're still in deliberation. So you want to see some type of, design impact. You get off the freeway and you see that building and go, wow, what an interesting building.
Yeah, I would like to see that. And, you know, maybe having it, I don't know. I don't know how, but not necessarily just screening that information, because also, you know, you have to deal with their view corridor. But something that draws you to it and doesn't look like it's just a dead corner.
So. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to see if I have other comments, but. Yeah, my concern is when you're coming off of the freeway, certainly, and how do you make that impact?
Okay, then I'm going to reopen the public comment. Now you can address us with your concerns.
Okay, thank you. Well, I would ask that you give us as much and maybe more detail about that, what sounds to me like a motion, as possible, because I see that as to some degree some mutually exclusive goals, where we definitely know enough about Ventura to know that a lot of our design needs to be obscured or screened so that we're not seeing our drive-through parallel the main right-of-way, and so we're already talking about screening the lower half of the building. So I feel a little bit of a conflict in the direction, not that you're giving us, but with the reality of what we have here. So give us a little bit more direction on what kind of impact, and in particular the One Love sign. That's great feedback, but we'd like some more detail while we're here, if that's fair to you.
Okay. Is there any more comment before I close the public comment? Anything else you'd like to say?
If you need to ask a question now, because he's going to close public comment on us again.
Understood. Absolutely. The more texture we can get from this conversation, from the feedback from our peers as architects, obviously gives us specific actions that we can take to address articulation, to address materials, to address, I've heard clearly, just a good design concept, a way to describe our solution specific to this site that's unique and tells our stories, you know, the story of Ventura, but the story of our brand. We want to be wildly successful here. You know, we want to this to be a flagship. We want to be one of your best employers within the community. We also want to provide a piece to your permanent infrastructure along this important corridor. So heard, understood.
Okay, I'll close the public comment, and I appreciate your willingness to work with us. Member Dunbar, you had something that you wanted to say in addition? Or?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, so crafting motions seem to be always the hardest part of this job. So we could basically try to come up with the things that we would like to see changed or further investigated and explored so that we can at least give them some direction. Now, the problem is we can't design the building for them. And so that's not our intent for being here. But we can ask for good design, and we assume that you have the talent and the capability to deliver that. So is there anything specific in here that you would like, maybe if you're going to give them directions to reconsider this design and come back with a new design? What would you like to see them explore? And then hopefully we can capture that.
Okay, so if you're going to start a motion right now, please reference if you would like to continue this to a date certain or a date uncertain. And if it is a date certain, please include the date that you would like to continue the project to. And then, yes, let's, if it is a motion, then we want to keep it clear, concise, and like bullet points, like, you know, add dark sky lighting or, you know, however you want to express that so that we can clearly get it in the minutes, and that will also help the applicant team to understand what exact requests you are have to.
And I'm going to need to open the public hearing and ask you, would you like it to be a certain date if we asked you to come back, or an uncertain date?
We'd like a date certain. Okay. And we didn't ask this, but we'd like you to give us some couch your design direction in terms of areas of further study that you'd like us to pursue, and those things maybe about the project, or like you said, the circulation, that are okay, so we know specifically what to study and what parts of, like you said, the layout earlier is fine, the circulation, we would love that direction as well, so we know for sure when we come back next time we nail it.
Okay, I'll close the public hearing then. And
let me pull up the next hearing dates for you so you know what date certain you would like. And I think we also need to take in staff consideration as well if they will be able to accommodate those dates. Yes.
So we can make sure everybody's on the same page. I believe it's August 21st.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the things that I would like to see when you do come back is I would like to see maybe more of an intent to comply with the city guidelines. Specifically, we're talking about corporate architecture, trying to come up with something that maybe is a little bit more unique to Ventura. So we're looking at page 22 of the guidelines, number 4, use of standard corporate architecture styles is strongly discouraged.
I don't know, is this part of the motion? I'm sorry, it's unclear, and I'm trying to pull up the dates on the calendar for you.
Yeah, it's part of the motion that basically I'm asking them to come back with a less corporate design.
Okay, well, let me just pull the dates up so we can get the date that you'd like to.
The consensus down here is September 18th would be the best date to come back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we would
so you want to continue it to September 18th?
Come back September 18th. If we're going to have a motion, now, usually the chair doesn't present a motion unless nobody else can come up with a motion. I can second a motion, but if I come up with a motion, I have to relinquish the chair to the vice chair, and there is no vice chair. So I can make suggestions, but you can come back and say, yes, I agree with that. Let's include that. I want to include that into a motion. The coming back with less corporate architecture and the date, the September date that was also quoted. So you have to present that. And then we can add to your motion. And if you agree to what we're trying to add, then it becomes part of the motion.
Okay. If
I'm understanding correctly, I think what we can do is we can say we're going to continue this to a date certain with the suggestions of, and then bullet. And can everybody
yes, add to that bullet? As long as you agree with it as the maker of the motion.
Got it. Okay, got it. Okay. So I will be the maker of the motion. And I am going to make a motion to have your team come back in on September 18th and have a and have some further development in the following areas. Okay.
So I would suggest a less corporate design, something more compatible with a beach community like Ventura.
I would like to add to that motion that it would be a less corporate design, more in compliance with our design guidelines and more cohesive with our local architecture and our community.
Okay, I'd like to see also night compliance, night sky compliance.
I think the best way to handle it would be for you to make a motion of the things that you would like to see and then ask if there's any friendly amendments that you would like to see in the motion.
Okay. Okay.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah. Okay, so I would like to see some sort of studies on how they can address the corner to be more relevant to the importance of that that location. Understanding that there's a view corridor, but maybe there's some other options that we can come up with, even just on the architectural elements of the building. And then I would like to make sure that the lighting is all night sky compliant. And in addition, I'd like some more clarification of the pedestrian walkway. We have two different designs. We have, we could do this and we could do that. I'd just like to have more clarification of exactly how that's going to work.
Would you like to add, make a suggestion?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. I would suggest that you add that they come back with a building section and a roof plan that we can see. So we at least have a complete understanding of the building via section and roof plan.
I agree with that.
Okay. Do you have any concerns about the number of materials that are being used?
No, I don't. Okay.
Any concerns on materials or types of materials or numbers of materials?
Can we go to that? Sorry, just to double check here. No, I don't think there's too many.
Okay. All right, do we have a motion?
I'd like to add one more thing. Sure. I'd like to actually have a section longitudinally and latitudinally through from the street, from property line to property line, or building area to building area, not just the building. And you know, I appreciate these, but it doesn't cut all the way through the building to the other side. So if we could have something like that, that would just give me a little bit better idea of what is visible from that corner.
Okay. Could the clerk give us an understanding of what the motion is so we can get a second?
Okay. We have less corporate design, more in line with design guidelines and local character. Corner needs revisiting. I didn't quite understand that, but we will rewatch the video to get the complete, concise motion. Lighting needs to be night sky compliant. More clarification on pedestrian walkway.
Pedestrian
walkway.
Yes.
And then you would like to come back with a building section and roof plan. And then a section on longevity and
longitudinal?
Longitudinal.
Lengthwise and widthwise.
Okay, thank you.
Latitude and longitude.
Okay, gotcha.
Of the entire site.
Okay, from building to building.
No, from property line to property, or I don't know if it's actually a property line, but from your
project area.
Project area, thank you.
for complete project area. And that's all I have.
Is the maker of the motion, are you comfortable with what the clerk is?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and so we need a second.
Do I have, yes.
Either you second it or I'm going to wind up seconding it.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you. You want me to call the vote?
Roll.
Okay. Member Kuhlke?
Here.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Member Dunbar?
Yes.
And Chair Antleman?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I've got a little bit more to do. Let me get my notes.
I think now we move into committee communication.
Yes. This is time that we can speak, we can address issues, things that you might want to talk about, maybe just to kind of lead a little bit. We don't have a vice chair at this point in time, so we need to figure out how we can get a vice chair. The other issue is if the vice chair and the chair are not present, then who is the chair? Who takes over the committee if the vice and the chair are not available? Is it a seniority issue? Is it you put up your hand and volunteer?
I'm not sure the protocols address that.
I
don't believe that they do. I'd have to see if there is any guidance on that. My suspicion is it would be a matter of consensus amongst the quorum present.
Okay, whatever works. I mean,
yeah.
We don't want to come to a meeting and all of a sudden we're looking, you know, right and looking left and nobody knows what to do.
Yeah, if there's no chair or vice chair present, my initial suggestion, and again, I'll look into this and we can address it at the next meeting.
There's a provision in the in our guidelines that allow us to actually come up with a recommendation on this. We can do that. It's an ad hoc.
Okay.
It's called.
Uh-huh.
So we can express our desire. I mean, if the chair and the vice chair were not here, how would you want to proceed? Would you want to just come to a consensus?
I would just come to a consensus.
Okay. Would you do the same?
Yes.
And I would do the same. So if this does happen, maybe you can document this for the record that we made an ad hoc decision that the remaining three members that were not chair or vice chair could come to a consensus of who would lead.
I think it's important to note that the three that would be left have no experience. I mean, we're just starting. And I know that, I don't know if Jack is willing to be vice chair, but I think we should nominate him and elect him tonight since he's not here.
Yeah, we have to agendize that. So we will be taking that, we will be putting that on the agenda at the next hearing, the election for vice chair and chair. And one other question for Chris is, Chair Antleman was elected chair in January, but his term has restarted. Oh. So would he have to be re-elected as chair or would he stay chair?
I believe we would need to conduct another election. Yes, again, I need to look into that. I'll have to pull up the, let me see if I can get that in the protocols. I turned my computer off.
Whatever works.
Okay.
Works. I do want to give you a heads up. I probably will not be able to attend the next meeting. So that also could be an issue as well.
Well, we will have to conduct it at the next meeting where you will be available, or, you know, if we have three members, you know, you can always state now if you're willing to serve. And, you know, I don't know when our next, we do have scheduled hearings, but there's always the possibility that we would not have projects ready to go to hearing at that time. So it could be in the August or the September agenda, depending on.
For now, the only one that I know for sure is going in September will be the item that you just continued to. So I don't have one for certain going in August, so the next meeting may be September, potentially.
The thing about being chair, and I avoided it for 4 years, is it takes a while to become adequate at it. It's it can be a challenge, but here again, you're welcome. Either one of you are welcome to be chair if you want to do that. But we can decide that later on. Things that I'd like to bring up in the future, and I know you're still shorthanded staff-wise. How are you?
Right now, we're missing one planner.
Okay, so maybe we can address this in September. And I believe you're aware that I'm interested in us having some type of awards program. Maybe we can award the best commercial, the best residential, maybe the best joint use project, and then recommend that the city council somehow acknowledge these designs, because I think it gives people guidelines that are in the community as well as from outside of the community. So that's something that could come up later in the future. The other thing I'm interested in, and I may be the only one, is green roofing. I understand that we can also ask for workshops if we wanted to. So if there was a consensus that green roofing is something that we'd like to look into, we could ask for a workshop where we could get some more knowledge on what a green roof is. And the other thing that's also being forced upon us by the state is net zero. So I didn't ask the question because I already knew the answer. Should we be asking applicants, how are they complying with net zero? You know, is it an issue that at least we should be asking, even though we don't have a way of forcing them to comply at this point in time?
As a committee, I think you have the ability to ask pretty much any question you want. Whether or not the applicant will be able to respond at the point in time with their design plans to all the details they'll need to meet in building plan check, they may not be ready to answer those questions, but they might be able to answer the question for you.
Well, then it gets to the issue, could we also, in a motion, ask them to comply with certain aspects of net zero?
You can. Ultimately, building code and any other code that applies will trump that. So you can make a motion to comply with building code, but they have to comply with building code. So I'm not sure it adds value, but you might be able to add
net
some.
Net zero would be, we're looking at materials. But here again, we're a recommending body, mm-hmm. So the final decision is going to be made by the community development director or the planning commission. And I don't know if any of these issues have ever come up before while you were on the planning commission. So these are things that maybe we'd be discussing in the future. So it just kind of a heads up. If you have issues that you'd like to bring forward, you know, please do.
I do have something that I'd like to speak to, and that is our 1997 design guidelines. That was out of all of the matrix report, there was one thing that was the highest priority, and that was to rewrite the design guidelines. And that has yet to be done. It's been 5+ years, and a lot of other things have gotten done, but that has not been, I don't know if it's even been addressed. I kind of stepped back from the city, and so I don't really know, and I know the city's had a lot of turmoil. And so I would really, somehow, if this governing body, or this body, this recommending body can help with that, or agendize that, or get that moving, I would love to see that, because we're working off, it's almost embarrassing to say, oh, page this on 1997 guidelines. I mean, I don't even want to refer to those, actually, quite honestly. We need updated guidelines throughout our city. So yeah. That's really something that's important to me.
Yeah, I can support that, because we're a lot different now than we were in 1997.
There's design guidelines.
Materials
for all
are
the
different.
Everything's
different. Right? Everything is different.
So which one's only 1997? Are they okay. All 1997?
All right, then we can move on. Do you have anything that you need to inform us about?
No, and I can respond a little bit to the comment, because we're working on some of these really big picture projects like the general plan. The goal of that is that's going to create this vision, and then we're going to roll that into a zoning code update and a local coastal plan update. Those are kind of the big ticket projects. And then these elements, like design elements, as well as some of the specific plans, are all going to have to follow in that process. So I hear you. I think there's a lot of things in our code and our design guidelines that are outdated and don't track with current styles and the path that the community is going in. But there's definitely, you know, a hierarchy of these things. And in the next couple of years, you'll see a lot of those things coming down.
What's the timeline for that?
The general plan update is probably going to take another 2 years to get through that process. The land use plan has been not blessed, but kind of pushed forward by City Council, and now we're doing the final analysis on the environmental side of that, of what that means, and that'll be presented to the GPAC soon. We haven't set a date for that, but that'll be the next big piece. And then the local coastal plan will follow directly after, in the zoning code as well. So probably in the next 4 to 5 years, there'll be a significant change in regulations.
So, but then the design guidelines are after that?
They would be after that, at least in the priority of things. But it's definitely something that is important, but we need those kind of base land use requirements in order to kind of push this all forward.
I also just wanted to briefly comment the duties of the design review committee as regards to design guidelines. I'm just going to quote here. Upon request of staff or city council, the design review committee can assist with site architectural or landscape design input and consideration of new or revised design standards or guidelines. So if staff or the city council were to make that request of you, that would certainly be within your purview.
Okay, if there is nothing else, then meeting is adjourned. Oh, one more thing.
Staff communication.
Oh, I did. I asked her about.
He did ask. And I just clarified the general plan.
Oh, okay.
Timeline.
I thought we were still on committee communication. Sorry, I missed that.
Okay. Then we are adjourned.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We need to turn this off.
Heather and I.
When did it go to
staff? I just don't think that's our role.
Yeah. I do appreciate.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It looks like it flipped over. Well, I was like, why didn't they flip it over? And
yeah.
Play too hard on them?
No.
And at that,
I just think,
at that point,
you know, it's kind of hard because some of these things are kind of box, big box, and if you look at like the Del Taco or the McDonald's or